After his university training, Cleve Baxter eventually joined the U.S. Counterintelligence Corps and lectured on the potential danger of foreign powers using hypnosis to extract classified information from overseas government personnel. Baxter took a huge risk to demonstrate the seriousness of this subject to a high-ranking military officer. With her permission, Baxter hypnotized the secretary of the commanding general of the Counterintelligence Corps. While under hypnosis, he asked her to remove a highly classified document from the general's locked file cabinet, and she willingly obeyed. Baxter told her she would not remember what she had done when she awoke. And sure enough, she had no idea she had just leaked very sensitive information when he brought her back. That night, I secured the document in my locked file, and the next day presented it to the general. I explained to him that I might be risking a court-martial, but hoped instead to expedite further consideration of the importance of my research. Rather than a court-martial, on December 17, 1947, I received a very favorable letter of recommendation from the general, stating that my research was of high importance to military intelligence. Then, positive things started to happen. Early pioneer of the polygraph. After giving 10 days of hypnosis and sodium pentothal truth serum demonstrations at the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C., Baxter began working for the Central Intelligence Agency as of April 27, 1948. Shortly after joining the CIA, Baxter studied with Leonard Keeler, a pioneer in the use of the polygraph. In addition to other classified activities, I was a key member of a CIA team that was prepared to travel to any foreign location to analyze the possible use of unusual interrogation tactics, including my original areas of concern, mainly hypno-interrogation and narco-interrogation. Back in Washington, D.C., the polygraph operation I had established was becoming popular for the screening of applicants for employment at the CIA and for some general screening of key CIA personnel. The ever-increasing schedule of rather routine polygraph examinations started to interfere with my more creative interests in research. Shortly after Leonard Keeler's death, circa 1951, Baxter left the CIA to serve as director of the Keeler Polygraph Institute in Chicago. This was the only classroom-type school teaching the use of the polygraph at the time. Baxter went on to start his own polygraph consultant business, working with several government agencies in Washington, D.C., and then expanded into a second office in Baltimore, Maryland. By 1958, Baxter had freed up the time to begin intensive polygraph research, and he developed the first standardized system for numerical evaluation of polygraph charts, which is still being used today. He moved to New York City in 1959 and continued to operate a commercial polygraph business. 7 years later, Baxter struck gold. In February 1966, an event occurred that was about to expand the entire focus of my research through a kind of paradigm shift in my own awareness. At the time of its occurrence, I had been involved in the use of the polygraph on humans for 18 years. Baxter's secretary purchased a rubber plant and a Dracaena cane plant from a store that was going out of business. This was the first time Baxter had ever owned any plants. On February 2, 1966, Baxter had worked through the night in his lab and finally took a coffee break at 7 a.m. In those weary hours, Baxter got an idea. He would try to connect his new Dracaena plant to the polygraph and see what happened. Much to his surprise, the plant did not have a smooth, flat pattern of electrical activity. It was surprisingly jagged and alive, changing moment to moment. Then, as Baxter kept watching in amazement, it got a whole lot more interesting. About 1 minute into the chart recording, the tracing exhibited a short-term change in contour similar to a reaction pattern typical of a human subject who might have been briefly experiencing the fear of detection. In simple language, the plant's electrical activity looked just like the graph from a person who was starting to tell a lie. Baxter knew that if you want to catch someone lying, you first have to confront them about whatever they might be hiding. If your questions then cause them to feel threatened and anxious, the electrical activity in their skin gets much stronger. Baxter wanted to see if he could get a human-like response out of his new plant by threatening its well-being somehow.